It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio. I'm David Leventhal. Part two today of our, I guess, special episode on humiliation. Yeah, I know the president's been humiliating us for about 4 years, but this week, the humiliations by the president of the United States, the humiliations of America, Americans, and himself were so great that it cannot be contained in even one long show. So as promised, this is the follow-up to our show the other day, where I will primarily be talking about Trump's tax returns and maybe why it was that he worked so hard to keep them secret all these years. Before I get into that, I want to start by following up a little bit on where we stand with COVID and where the president stands on COVID. We are now at, as a country, just about 7.5 million Americans who have been infected with the novel coronavirus. Just about 210,000 who are now dead. The numbers continue to go up in the country overall. Keep those numbers in mind as we talk about the latest with the President of the United States and his handling of coronavirus for all of us, and even for himself. Because despite how dramatic these numbers are, despite how high, alarming to any sane human being, they are apparently not anywhere near large enough for someone in the Trump administration or for someone having some relationship with the President of the United States to actually start telling the truth. Even though Trump has come down with COVID, that doesn't mean we need to start acknowledging reality. Some people have pointed out, some people have speculated, gee, maybe the fact that the president has this, it will sober him up a little on COVID. Well, that speculation lasted about, what time is it? About 14 and a half minutes, I think, by my watch, to learn that the president of the United States will absolutely, as always, not be touched by reality in any way, shape, or form. Well, and he wants to make sure the rest of us are not touched by reality either. And we've learned even in the last couple of days, following up from my discussions of Trump's COVID from just a couple of days ago, even his doctor, the White House doctor, his personal White House doctor, lies whenever he talks to people about Donald Trump, apparently. Now, maybe lies is unfair. He equivocates. He misleads. Whatever. You get the idea. It's quibbling to talk about whether or not he lies. When he had his news briefing about the president's condition, the New York Times described the briefing as surreal. Surreal. That's the way that a news briefing by the White House physician about the president of the United States is treated. Now, I'm not one of those people who puts doctors up on pedestals. I think many of them are shit, just like the rest of us. But seriously, I mean, we can't even hope or expect for more coming out of the White House physician when we're talking about the health of the president of the United States, something that maybe you'd think it was important for the American public to know. Well, I dealt with this a couple of days ago, how these are not normal times. And with the president of the United States, who doesn't do anything anyway, who spends his days watching Fox News and tweeting if he's not able to get out on the golf course, you'd still think it might be important for some of us to know the kind of shape that he's actually in, have an honest appraisal. And you'd think we might want to, even though, again, it is a president who we already know doesn't do anything. It's come out in the last couple of days that one of the many drugs the president has been on, dexamethasone, just to prove to you that I can pronounce it, I don't know if I pronounced it right, but whatever. You probably don't know otherwise. It turns out that this drug has potentially psychological, psychiatric side effects. Now, under normal conditions, the American public would be having a conversation about what we are doing, what safeguards are put in place when we are allegedly being led by a president of the United States who may be suffering from psychiatric side effects related to drugs that he's taking. But of course, we're not having that conversation in America. We're not having that conversation in America primarily because, let's face it, I think there's pretty well a universal understanding that any psychological effects that this drug can have on the president of the United States can only be positive. I mean, seriously. When you are as fucked up in the head as this son of a bitch is under the best in the best of times, what are we worried about regarding psychological effects? What could possibly make this narcissistic piece of garbage somehow more dangerous than he already is? Of course, in case you missed this funny part, one of the other potential side effects from dexamethasone is burning, itchy anus. And I know the jokes just make themselves here, but I'm going to make it anyway. The president may be suffering from burning, itchy anus, in which case I think we can all be thankful of the fact that he has an entire political party to soothe his burning, itchy anus. I'm assuming saliva. Yeah, I think saliva is pretty much a good soothing for a burning, itchy anus. Anyway, what's come out that's more problematic in the last couple of days is that the doctor showed us why it is that he needed to mislead us in the discussions about the president's condition. And that was because at one point it appears that the truth may have slipped out. And the truth was when Dr. Connolly pointed out that Trump was diagnosed as COVID positive on Wednesday. Now, why does that matter? In case you haven't heard about this before, Donald Trump attended a Thursday fundraiser with more than 100 people in it and didn't bother to wear a mask. This is the president of the United States who, it appears, knew he tested positive for the virus and still showed up to talk to his supporters without even bothering to put on a mask. You just can't make this shit up. Of course, his concern for people around him was also made clear in the last couple of days. First, by the fact that while he was in the hospital in a nice little suite where he was really taking advantage of his luxury government health benefits, President Trump decided to go for a joyride from the hospital. I think he called an Uber. He didn't call an Uber. Went, had the Secret Service drive him in one of his limousines so that he could basically wave to supporters and do a campaign event, thus subjecting the Secret Service people and who knows who else to possible exposure to the virus because he's got more important things to do to promote himself. That led to an Onion headline in the last couple of days, which was another priceless Onion headline. Trump supporters fighting over used tissues he threw from SUV. That pretty much just sums up the president and his supporters. Anyway, Trump is now, after a few days in the hospital, back at the White House, where he is apparently once again maskless, thus exposing a whole new crop of potential victims to his callousness and his lack of regard for who he gives the virus to. He has come out without his mask on, telling Americans, "Don't be afraid of it," referring to coronavirus, saying, "I feel better than I did 20 years ago." This during a deadly global pandemic. For those who think that this might sober the president up a little bit, Now, it's true he feels better than he did 20 years ago, because I think 20 years ago he was still suffering from those absolutely horrible bone spurs that kept him out of Vietnam. But even aside from the bone spurs, I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Don't be afraid of it. Continuing the president's message that only pussies let COVID beat them. That's the message coming from the president of the United States. Only pussies let COVID beat them. It's come out in the last day or so that sources within the White House have been saying that mask wearing has been looked down upon in the Trump White House. That if you were a staffer who had the temerity to wear a mask in the White House, you got looked down upon by the other people in the White House and on the president's staff. Again, the idea that the president, appealing to his moron supporters with this concept totally made up of male virility of the president of the United States, President Bonespurs, that this fake virility, because after all, you look at Donald Trump and all you think of is, wow, that is seriously a man's man. So if you are one of the 210,000 Americans and over a million people around the world who've died of COVID, well, you're just a pussy. Well, you know, you were one. You know, pussies like college student Chad Doril, the college student from, I think it was Appalachian State, who died of COVID this week. Why didn't someone tell him that he should not be afraid of the virus? Oh, wait, somebody probably did. And that person was probably the president of the United States, though I don't know Chad's politics when he was around. That's why, because of all this manliness, there is so little effort to prevent the spread of this potentially deadly and otherwise debilitating virus. It's not just those around Trump, we have learned, who have been getting the virus because he has made no effort to prevent their exposure. At least you could say about people who've chosen to be around the president that most of them, on some cosmic level, might deserve what they get. You lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas, so to speak. Or you lie down with the president of the United States, you wake up COVID positive. But we've been learning in the last couple of days how many people they've been poisoning who haven't sold their souls to the devil to work for the president of the United States. Last day or so, we found out that three White House reporters have come down testing COVID positive. I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that Kayleigh McEnany, apparently after she had already been diagnosed, certainly after she knew that the president who she had been in close contact with had been diagnosed as positive, nevertheless went to give a press briefing and talk to reporters without wearing a mask. That's, I guess, why there's, we found out, so little effort to contact, trace. It is normal, of course, procedure when you find out that someone has been exposed to COVID and tests positive. You look at everybody who's been in their orbit and you trace it back and you take all the steps you need to prevent further transmission. You stop it where you can. Well, it turns out that the White House has limited efforts to do contact tracing around the president of the United States. They have limited efforts to notify people the president has been in contact with and with whom other people have been in contact. They cut out the CDC from the process of tracing the president and trying to stop this, what presumably will become a super spreader event, because it might look bad for the president. This, experts are saying, can further exacerbate and lead to the spread to hundreds of additional people who should not contract this virus. It is, as someone points out, an abdication of responsibility by the president of the United States. Lots of people have pointed this out. Abdication of responsibility? Abdication of responsibility is sitting around watching Fox News all fucking morning and tweeting and not doing your goddamn job. This is not abdication of responsibility. This is criminal battery. This is murder. So get ready to add a whole bunch more to the president's continually growing tally of Americans whom he has murdered during his presidency. Donald Trump has also said about his reaction to COVID, "I stood out front. I led." That's what leaders do. Yes, he led. He led his supporters off a cliff. He led this country off a cliff. He led us right into the firing line. I guess new nickname coming up, we'll have to call President Trump not just President Bone Spurs, but President General Pickett. You can look that one up. Anyway, Trump supporters, the people he's been inflicting with the virus, the people he's been leading off a cliff, the people whose lives mean so little to him, the people he's been murdering. Well, on Fox News, we got the usual game plan going forward now. Liberals are so bad. They are so nasty. The story of the moment is that liberals are saying nasty things about the president. They are not sufficiently respectful of the fact that the president has the virus. And of course, liberals sometimes still say nasty things about Trump supporters. I think I may have called them morons in this show. I am so bad. And that should be the media story, how liberals occasionally call these fucking morons. Not the fact that the people, the cult leaders they follow, are continuing to murder them. Anyway, Trump's taxes, as promised. And this fits in the category of another shocking, but not surprising at all, revelation during the Trump administration. Just shocking and not at all surprising. In fact, as we go over what we learned from the Trump tax returns, I'm thinking, what's new in this? What's new here? What's in here that I haven't been talking about for 3.5 years based on what people already knew and were already reporting? There's really not much. We already knew that the president of the United States was a total loser. I mean, that his, "I'm a winner, I'm a great businessman, I'm savvy, I make everything work," was all bullshit. It was all a TV manufactured image or a celebrity manufactured image by the media. The man is a total loser in every way possible, including financially, as we already knew. The guy who was declared bankruptcy how many times? I suppose we didn't know until the tax returns just how much money he had made from Celebrity Apprentice, which turns out to be his main source of income. Almost $500 million from a fucking TV show. Almost $500 million from a TV show. We learned that from the McDonald's TV, that his McDonald's TV ad turned out to be a pretty important source of income for the guy. We've learned, as we already knew, that his only asset is not his brains, because there don't seem to be any evidence of those. His assets are his wealth and his fame. That's what Donald Trump has to offer to the American public. That is what has kept him living a life that the rest of us couldn't even begin to want to dream of or be able to dream of. So when you look at what a loser this guy is and still revered for all of his money, what does that say about the rich? No, the super rich, especially. Let's focus on those. There are plenty of wealthy people out there who are just good at their jobs, have gone on to fields that where you can make a lot of money and have been very good at their jobs and have been fine and are reasonable people and haven't lost their sense of perspective and all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Trump-type rich. The super elite, the super rich, billionaires, the people who live on a different plane than the rest of us. You know, the billionaires who got $637 billion as of a couple months ago, richer during COVID, according to Business Insider. The people who are probably at this point pulling down close to an extra $1 trillion because of COVID in America. What does it say about the 12 U.S. billionaires who are currently worth it combined more than $1 trillion? What does it say about the super rich? What does it say in the context of this week's news that the big banks who were being given loads and loads of profits, billions of dollars worth of profits, handed to them as usual by the government, so your money, in for the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, the stimulus program that was passed the year, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, whatever the hell it was at this point. The big banks were handed billions of dollars in profits by the American public. Not doing anything clever, brilliant, earth-shattering, adding to the world kind of stuff. Just being handed money, as the ultra-rich always seem to be having done to them. Just being handed piles of money. Well, we found out that this week, the banks who, when it was pointed out that they were going to be given billions of dollars of public money at a time when the public actually could really use that money, while the spotlight was shining on those banks, the banks said, we are not going to keep these excess profits. We are going to give the excess profits that were given to us because of COVID, we're going to give them to charity. A noble gesture. Were there any hopes at the time or since that there would be any truth to it? I'm sorry I actually hadn't read about the banks making this promise at the time, or I would have come on the show and I would have told you it's bullshit right then. Because it's bullshit. This is another indication of when the unbelievably rich who help themselves to the public trough get caught helping themselves to the public trough under circumstances that might not look good for them. While the spotlight is blaring on them, they show contrition. I'm sorry. I feel really bad for what I've done. I'm sorry I got caught. So I'm not going to do that, but this isn't the way we do business, whatever else. But now we're reminded again that as soon as the spotlight turns elsewhere, and given the 30-second attention span at best of the American public, it turns elsewhere awfully quickly, that it's all bullshit. The banks now saying, oh, sorry, looks like we're not actually making any profits from the PPP. Gosh, our expenses are way more than we thought they were going to be. And yeah, turns out we're not going to actually be giving any money to charity. It's a darn shame. And don't worry, we feel worse about it than you do. You can count on that. Now look, maybe it's possible that the banks haven't actually been recouping huge excess profits because of COVID. Of course, maybe it's possible that, I don't know, that Stormy Daniels slept with Donald Trump because she really likes the guy and she really finds him sexy. It's another reminder of, regarding wealthy people, the super wealthy, about how the super rich in this country do not pay for their own stuff. That is another important takeaway from Donald Trump's tax returns. Another reminder how rich people do not pay for their own stuff. A couple of weeks ago in class, one of my students, when I was talking about the wealthy and things not being fair in America, not competing on a level playing field, one of my students rushed to the defense of the super rich by saying, well, you gotta hand at least the super rich pay for their own stuff. Once I stopped laughing, which I think, to my credit, was only like 10 or 15 seconds later, once I stopped laughing at that, I proceeded to discuss with my students, as I have on this podcast and will again, how the idea that the super rich pay for their own stuff is as ridiculous as the idea that the banks aren't going to keep their excess profits. Rich people don't pay for their own stuff, period. And again, Donald Trump's tax returns really indicate that in some humorous ways. The rich people, as I've pointed out on this show, don't pay for climate change. Rich people create climate change, poor people pay for it. That's kind of a big one, where rich people get to dump their costs through the part of Donald Trump that's now itching and burning. They get to dump their costs onto the rest of the world. The police, who tend to spend most of their time protecting the interests of the super rich from the rest of us. The military, we spend a lot of money on the military. Who does that primarily benefit? Talk in class about that wonderful uplifting story, the Tom Hanks movie. What was it? Not Captain Wilson. What the hell was the... All of a sudden, the name is escaping me. The one where he's a commercial shipper and he gets ransacked by pirates and the U.S. Navy comes in and rescues him. You know, none of my ships have ever been rescued by the United States Coast Guard, which is there, of course, to defend the interests of private commercial interests and the U.S. Navy, private commercial. In fact, the military as a whole. There's not a whole lot of my property around the world that the U.S. military is seeking to protect. But anyway, just so much of everything, the rich have other people pay for their stuff. Well, on Trump's taxes, this was highlighted in a couple of really interesting, humorous ways. My two favorites, of course, are the $70,000 that he had the American taxpayer pay for haircuts. That's right. You paid to cut Donald Trump. Look at Donald Trump's hair. You were a part of that. Okay. You paid for that, for something that good. $70,000 on haircuts. I did the math quickly while in the shower this morning. Yes, it was that time of the month, even during COVID. $70,000 on haircuts. I'm thinking, do I spend $70,000 on haircuts in my lifetime? Not even close. It would take me, and this is conservative estimates, I promise you, 10 lifetimes, assuming, by the way, that I live, as I hope, a long lifetime. It would take me 10 lifetimes to spend $70,000 on haircuts. But then I would be spending that money. If I had the American taxpayer buying those haircuts for me, well, maybe I'd be racking up some more money on haircuts. Speaking of $70,000 haircuts, how does Ivanka spend about $100,000 on makeup? Seriously, $100,000 on makeup. What did she have, a headectomy? Is that not her original head? I understand, you know, speculation, it's not her original boobs, whatever. That's not $100,000. But I don't know, maybe that's part of it. Did the American public pay for Ivanka's boob job? You can't make this stuff up. She was paid about $750,000 in consulting fees by the American public, which Donald Trump was writing off his taxes. I'm sure she disclosed them on her taxes. As people are pointing out in a delicious line here, God, let's hope they all go to prison. They may all be subject to prison after this. $750,000 of the public's money on Ivanka's consulting, and you know she's worth it. She's worth every penny. Anyway, we learned from Trump's taxes what we already knew, which is that he paid nothing or basically nothing in taxes. Again, no surprise there. Pays nothing in taxes most years. Now, of course, he is a particular dirtbag. But he's not alone here. This isn't Donald Trump, unlike everybody else. This is how the fabulously wealthy work it out. We're reminded of Leona Helmsley, famous rich person, America's equivalent of Let Them Eat Cake, who famously quipped, "Only little people pay taxes," before she actually went to prison for tax evasion. Only little people pay taxes. Despite the rare exception, like maybe Leona Helmsley, who got caught, and we'll talk in a moment about how likely it is for rich people to get caught, This is the way the ultra-rich lead their lives. One recent study found that the 400 wealthiest households paid 70% of their total income in federal, state, and local taxes in 1950. 70% in 1950. It was 47% in 1980 and 23% in 2018. From 70% to 23%, cut by more than two-thirds. And we're supposed to feel bad for rich people, or at least they pay for their own stuff. We are reminded by Donald Trump's tax returns about how the audits of rich people are a joke. We are reminded, therefore, about how incredibly much tax fraud there is by the fabulously rich. Because they're not being audited. They're not being audited because we have reduced IRS enforcement dramatically over the course of your lifetime. I don't even know how old you are, but doesn't matter. Over the course of your lifetime, we have dramatically reduced IRS enforcement. The number of IRS auditors has fallen by a third since 2010. The government employs fewer people to chase deadbeats than at any time since the 1950s. Well, if you get rid of the police, guess what the criminals are going to do? They're going to commit more crimes. The share of all tax returns subject to an audit declined by 46% from 2010 to 2018. So, gee, we can all share in the spoils of becoming a criminal, according to the Congressional Budget Office, that is. But for millionaires, the audit rate fell 61%. So it fell 46% overall, but for millionaires or more, it fell 61%. Much greater. Okay? We've learned that the rich people, through Donald Trump's taxes, have too many lawyers, and they intimidate an underfunded IRS that simply cannot keep up. We see Donald Trump with a dispute over, just trifling, I think it's like $100 million, over 10 years, this dispute has been going on. His lawyers have been dragging this out. The IRS has learned to not go after rich people because they have too much money to spend on too expensive lawyers to make it worth your time. Just like, for the most part, federal criminal prosecutors and state criminal prosecutors have learned not to go after rich people for the same reasons. We reminded that the federal government will fail to collect about $7.5 trillion in taxes over the next decade, about 15% of the total amount owed in taxes. $7.5 trillion in taxes over the next decade will not be collected, which, of course, simply is fine with the Republican Party that continues to peddle supply-side bullshit. And Trump's tax returns remind us once again about what bullshit supply-side economics is. In other words, for those who are new to the show, the idea that take your money out of your wallet, everybody, and give it to a billionaire. And trust me, we're doing this for you. In the long run, this will benefit you. It's been 40 years, but we haven't reached the long run yet. So just keep holding on. Just keep giving your money. At some point, it's going to trickle down to you. They continue to peddle this, despite the fact that it's not true, evidencing once again their contempt for their own supporters, who they continue to separate from their life savings and their future. This supply-side bullshit, we are reminded, was reflected in the 2017 Trump Republican tax cut, which was absolutely disgusting, and we now have even more ammunition for how disgusting it was. The almost, by some estimates, perhaps $2 trillion tax cut con on the American public, which was simply a payoff to the fabulously ultra-rich with no dividends for everyone else. It is a reminder of why this country is starved of its infrastructure. Why this country is getting its ass kicked and going to get its ass kicked even more by the rest of the world soon because of our failure to invest in our country long term for the future. How we have devastated our schools and are unable to respond to a COVID crisis in schools and otherwise. Why our education system is failing. I teach at a formerly prestigious city university system, which is rapidly becoming a joke. Pathetic. In the education it's able to provide to its students. but we can't afford any of those things because we're too busy giving more money to billionaires. Yeah, this is respect for Trump supporters. It is a reminder of what will happen if and when this country survives by having Joe Biden be elected president in another month. It is a reminder that immediately upon that election, Republicans in Congress will rediscover budget deficits and so-called fiscal responsibility. How the huge budget gap in this country that was created by the payoff to the fabulously rich will be used to justify hamstringing Joe Biden and the Democratic administrations from actually doing the kind of things that this country needs to prepare for the future. But of course, that's just the economics of Trump's tax returns and what we should learn from them. I've left out for many people maybe the most important part of what we learn from Trump's tax returns. And that is the awesome, almost incomprehensible amount of debt that the president of the United States has racked up. Much of it owed to foreigners. Much of that to foreigners whose interests very much contradict the interests of the United States of America. Talking to you, Russia, among others. Donald Trump apparently in almost $500 million worth of debt. Almost $500 million. We are reminded from these numbers, as I've talked about before, that the President of the United States, were he required to get a security clearance, were the President of the United States automatically qualified for security clearance, this president would not be able to get it. This president could not pass a security clearance check. Not just because he's a man-child who blurts out to show off state secrets to foreign leaders. Not just for that reason. But because of the incredible risk that he poses to blackmail and extortion from foreign interests whose interests oppose those of America and Americans. Because of how likely he is to be subject to blackmail. Remember Michael Flynn? Turns out, penny ante, the blackmail threat that he posed to America. And speaking of Michael Flynn, that kind of reminds us with Trump's tax return, once again, of just how unbelievably badly the special counsel Robert Mueller screwed up. And I'm sorry, I understand that we already knew he was played by the Trump administration. He was played by a corrupt attorney general he just could not contemplate would be that corrupt as to completely mischaracterize his report. He was played. How is it that this guy was investigating foreign influence on the Trump administration and we do not hear about the fact that the president is $500 million in debt? This is just strikes me as such an unbelievable abdication of responsibility. You almost have to wonder why he's not the president. Anyway, that's it for today's show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon. Till then, be well, be safe.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.